Welcome to the Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona on BBS Radio. What is synergy? Well, if you came to me as a client, I would say it's what you create when you come together with people. It's the energy that becomes exponentially more powerful. Now, that can be in a good way or a bad way, because power comes with responsibility, and responsibility demands a credibility. When you have the power to create things with other people, you need to know what you're creating with them. And usually, I like to say the power of synergy, but you know what? I'm at a shelter today, and we're going to talk about the synergy of power. I stayed in three different shelters in the last year, and I saw what the people running this show treat you like. They demeaned me, they undermined me, they defamed me, they humiliated me, and they continued to abuse me. And you know the worst part? They laughed in my face while they called me names, because they knew that I couldn't get any resources to the community until I placated them. And then, even when I complied with the policies and procedures, which they never actually showed me, they said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, there's this one other thing you gotta do. Bye-bye, see you later." And then I found out that one of the organizations was different from the other organization. It's on the same campus. I thought it was the same thing. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to see what's going on here, because what I needed was temporary help of community resources. But then I saw that there were other people here who were being abused even worse than me. And I said, you know what, I'm going to keep a record of this, and I'm going to report this not only to the Better Business Bureau, but also to the Attorney General in Phoenix. And they said, you know what you need is a class action lawsuit. Nothing's going to change. We've been hearing about this place for years. They knew exactly what was going on. But you know what? I had 46 grievances. I had 107 recordings, some audio, some video. And they said, but you know what, honey? Too bad. You're only one person. You need 20 people to start a class action lawsuit. And I said, that's okay. I made some pretty good friends with the people living here, because I trust them a whole lot more than I trust the people running the place. And I said, you know what? You guys deserve to have your story told. I've already expressed what's gone on to me, to my viewers and to my followers, to my listeners. And I have a great support system. These people genuinely don't have what I had. And they have to have the opportunity to express on the record what goes on here, not only in general, but to them personally. Now, I have some people who are going to want to be with me on video. And then there's other people who wish to remain anonymous. Ask me why. Because they know that if they go on the record, they will be executed. Okay, maybe only just, you know, dismissed. But if they don't have a home and they're expelled from the program, it may as well be execution. And they're afraid that if they tell the truth, these people will be vengeful and horrific, wantonly cruel to them, the way they were to me. And so I believe that. I believe them when they say, you know what, I don't want my face shown, because I might be very, very homeless in about 24 hours. So, okay, I can respect that. Now, the three different things that I'm going to be talking about when it's about the synergy of power is, do you feel supported in this place that is a community resource? Number two, do you know what you have to do to make your life better? And number three, do you trust the people who are running the show? Okay, so the first guest that I want to interview, actually, he approached me before I went on the air, and he said, you know what, I want to tell my story. And then I have another lady that she wanted to remain anonymous to my left, and she'll be sitting here very patiently until he's done finishing his story. But he does want to be on film, so we're going to start with him. Would you like to say your name, sir?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Timothy Ray Johnson.
Okay, I can't have both of us, so you can go ahead, and as long as you can see your face. Okay, so Timothy, what do you feel happens to you in this place, and why do you say that? What experiences have you had?
Well, I got out of prison June 27th. They had no housing for me, and they said it was because of my charges. I have no violent history, and I have no drug charges, and I'm not a sex offender. So they said, okay, we're going to send you down to CAS. They have St. Joseph. They can get you a job. Then you can go to CBI, and they can get you housing. I was like, okay, so how long will this take? They go, all about 30 days. And so August 23rd came, and I still didn't have nothing. And so that's no more than 2.5 months. So I went to CBI. They go, oh, yeah, we forgot to tell you. We can't provide housing for you because of your charges. I was like, well, okay. I was like, okay. So I went to St. Joseph. That was supposed to give me a job. And they said, oh, no, we don't hire ex-felons. I was like, but what about what you promised? They go, well, and they go, well, yeah, well, maybe come back in 2 weeks. I was like, so, okay, you know, I think positive. God's grace. So I went back in 2 weeks. They go, oh, no, no, we can't hire you. And that, and what was happening is, as I was in level three, the highest level you can get in CAS, and I had a full-time job. And so, and I was like, okay, so I went back to the Welcome Center. That's supposed to give me, like, into, like, a voucher housing. They go, oh, yeah, we ran out of vouchers. So, you know.
Wait a minute, wait. They ran out of vouchers.
Yeah,
okay.
They ran out of vouchers. I was like, so when does the next vouchers come in? They go, oh, about a year.
What?
And I was like, well, but isn't the program only a year long? They go, yeah, but I was like, so in a year, my time will be up. What happens then? You go, oh, we have to start the whole year over again. So August 23rd, I came outside and I felt neglected. I felt, you know, he has been more or less slapped in my face. So I went into the restroom. I broke down a razor blade and I cut myself because I was very suicidal. I think I had gave up hope. I did not care. But I cut myself, as you can see, I cut a vein, an artery in two. I cut myself three times. And my spiritual sister right here, she goes, oh, my God. So she went and got security. Security came out and goes, oh, it's nothing. And I'm gushing blood. And the EMT comes out and goes, oh, you suicidal? I was like, yeah. So they go, oh, no, are you sure you don't want to be stitched up and just stay here? I was like, and my sister goes, did you hear what he just said? He's suicidal. They go, so you want to kill yourself? I'm like, yeah. They go, you sure you want to go to a psych unit? I was like, well, no. And then my sister goes, well, didn't he just say he wanted to kill himself? They go, well, if he doesn't want to go to a psych unit, it doesn't matter. So the EMT, so the EMTs here, and they were trying to talk me out of going to a psych unit. So I was like, no, I'm going to kill myself if you don't take me to the hospital. So they took me to the hospital. And then, the hospital goes, so do you want to go to a psych unit? I was like, yeah. So I went to a psych unit, and I'm in and out of psych units because they keep sending me down here. I've cut myself. I've OD'd on pills. So I was like, okay, maybe I can do this a different way. Maybe I can do this on my own. So I started walking the streets. And I was in the hospital, so I was supposed to have a medical bed and providing a cast. The hospital goes, oh, we called. There's a medical bed. So I'm outside waiting on conscience. Conscience was 45 minutes late. So I was like an hour late getting here. They go, oh, your medical bed went out of time. So I was like, so what's this thing? They go, oh, you guys sleep on the sidewalk until tomorrow morning. Oh, I was like, on the sidewalk? I go, what about blankets? They go, oh, no, we don't provide blankets. And so I was like, okay, maybe this will work. And so I started pacing the streets. I went to day labor, and they said, oh, you got an ID and a social security card. I was like, yeah. They go, okay, we can hire you. So nice. I went out, and now 3 days ago, I saved up, and now I'm in my own apartment. It cost me $2,700 to move in, $1,700 a month, and I have a full-time job. I did both of these on myself. CAS laughs, ridicules you, and disrespects you totally. Security will walk the campus and come up to you, and I'm not trying to disrespect people, but security will walk up to the table and go, what are you looking at? And I'm like, and I'll be like, I'm not looking at nothing. They go, well, you can't be looking at me like that. And I'm like, sir, I'm not trying to look at you. He goes, well, you look aggressive. I can kick you off. I can kick you off campus.
They can kick you off campus.
Yeah. So if I get kicked off the campus, I won't be. The only reason I'm here today, I have my own apartment. The reason I'm here today is to visit my spiritual sister because she's been down here for like 7 months, and she has no housing, and no housing is available for her.
Okay, so let me just say something. First of all, thank you so much for telling us your story. First of all, because yes, they do laugh at you and they do lie to you and they do demean you. Mm-hmm. And every time I tried to get a job, I followed the suggestions and the policy and procedure of my caseworker, who is CAS. But then all of the resources that I was offered were through HSC. Those are two totally different entities. And when the security guards threaten you and they overwhelm you and they intimidate you, you're scared to take any action. Now, you were talking about your spiritual sister. I think she has a few things to say, but there's a wonderful lady who's been sitting here to my right. And I know his sister will wait, right? Because I want her to say what she has to say. This is very important, Tim. Okay. So now what I want to hear is her story that she's not going to be on film and you don't want to reveal your name.
No.
Okay. That's fine. I'm just going to put it close so that they can hear without seeing who you are. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what has happened to you here?
Well, I graduated from Gateway Community College in 2 degrees and 91, microcomputer accounting and general studies.
Kudos!
So, I'm seriously mentally ill. And I'm without my family. So that makes me sad, depressed. But I'm 55 years old now. I've been homeless a large fraction of my life, over 21 and a half years. But I got homeless again from living in Mesa 4.5 years ago. Yesterday, I had a bad day. A lady just came up and stole my bags when I was eating breakfast over here in St. Vincent de Paul. I had my high blood pressure medicine there, antibiotics, diabetes medicine, all in that bag. I got my high blood pressure medicine back later on yesterday, but the rest of them I got to try to get. I ran with hysteria, as anybody would have done. And like he said, the security is mean to you. Instead of the security saying, let me help you take you, get your psychiatric medication to calm you down. But he called me a crazy bimbo and told me I was ugly and get out of here.
The security did, yes.
Okay. I was almost in tears. So I went back in there. I tried to calm myself down, which I did a little bit. So the other security, heavyset, a Latino, he went and got the security. And he saw the woman taking my bags, with my bags.
Okay.
Inside here. And he didn't say he was going to try to kick her off campus, but he said if he see her. So that didn't happen. So anyway, I still got to try to get all my medicines. Earlier this year, though, in January, beginning of this year, I was in CAS. Mm-hmm. They didn't tell me you could only stay in there 90 days. True, I should have been working on getting a place to live. But they didn't keep it clean in there like they should have. They talked mean to you. They treated me like I'm nothing. And then right before my 90 days was up, they put me with a case manager. And she didn't help me get into the Fillmore Gardens apartment complex or the other ones where I'm on the waiting list out here, as well as I'm on the waiting list in Portland, Oregon. And then another black lady who's a social worker told me that the white people in there didn't want my black ass in there and they wanted me out. Yeah. Uh-huh.
She just said that.
She said that to me. And the next thing you know, they kicked me out of there.
Because your 90 days is up, sweetheart.
So that was hateful and mean of them to do me like that. And for another black woman like myself to do me like that. So then I stayed on the street for 5 days and I got an overflow. And they're not really trying to help us get a place to stay. I appreciate what they're doing, though, having us lay on mats. But this is a very unjust system, CAS. And and now that we have this election, they need to help all of us homeless people get into a place to live and lower the rent and keep it lower.
Okay, but now, see, yes. Here's the thing. Now, both of you mentioned something about sleeping on the floor. Let me just say thank you very much, Miss Anonymous, that I have epilepsy, and when I came in here, they was okay, and so do the people sitting to my right. They actually, when I told them, if I do not sleep well and if I get a severe reaction to the cold around me, I will have seizures. They confiscated my blanket the minute that I said, and put me in front of the door when it was raining.
And I have edema in my left foot, and they didn't try to get me in a nicer shelter right here, Respiro. Okay. Cash just kicked me out in the street.
And I've slept on the street too. When they said, you're kicked out of the system. I said, why? They said, well, we don't have to tell you why. Okay. And how about the 90-day policy that should be in the contract? Oh yeah. They don't write that in the contract. Okay. So thank you very much for your story. Now I have the spiritual sister of the man that we first talked to, Tim. Would you like to be on film or would you rather be anonymous? Okay. Okay. So I'm not going to put the camera on her. So you listen to what this woman said, and you listen to what your spiritual brother said. Now, everybody who lives here has their own story and their own version of even potentially the same story. What have you noticed about the way people are treated here?
We're all treated like trash.
Thank you for saying that instead of the other word, because I feel that way too, okay?
If you have a service animal, they don't protect you or your service animal. I've been here since July 16th. I was in CAS first. They did not treat me with respect or with dignity. They didn't help me get into housing or anything. I've had my dogs threatened, kicked, punched, choked. They did nothing about it. I've been attacked multiple times. They didn't do nothing about it.
Okay.
Security didn't do nothing. The cops didn't do nothing about it. So they really don't help anybody here.
Right. And here's the thing. When it comes to help, something that I've noticed that they love to say, when you go to one person like security, they say, well, that's not my problem. And then when you go to the employees, they say, well, that's not my job.
Yeah.
And then the other person laughs at you and goes, sucks for you, doesn't it? And they turn and they walk away.
Yeah.
And so when I actually found out that there is a grievance form that you can formally, officially fill out, I filled it out. I have the sheet. I actually, if anyone wants to go on the GoFundMe campaign or my website or my email address is synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. I actually have a copy, an example of the grievance form. They don't ever turn it in. I say, who does it go to? Who in your company does it go to? They said, our higher ups. I said, who the hell is your higher up? I went to my case manager. I went to the supervisor and they said, we don't know. We don't have any record of that. So I started taking pictures of every single grievance that I filled out that I turned in. And I said, so to my caseworker, where did the grievance go? Did you ever see it? And they said, oh, we never saw it. That's not really our problem. And I said, okay, so wait a minute. Do you actually want me to get out of this situation? Do you want me to get in a better situation? And what is the policy? What is the procedure? And this, I think, is what upset me the most. Besides the human waste in the showers and the blood and the drugs. Okay, yeah. They basically said, well, one of these facilities has a certain policy and procedure. The other one has a different, and the black mold too. Yes. And I took pictures of that too. And they literally undermine each other. When I had a caseworker from CAS, the way that she was supposedly helping me get shelter was violating the policy and procedures of HSC, because if I wanted to get in at the end of the day, I couldn't find a job that worked past a certain hour, or they literally would not let me in. So I'm like, okay, so do I comply with the housing policy or do I get a job to stand on my feet? Now, you know what? I have two wonderful people in front of me who just told you very briefly a very small part of their story. That, oh, do you? Because I still have 42 minutes of my show. They literally do not want to see you grow and progress and succeed. So when you have to say, I'm making a life choice here, are you going to facilitate my success or are you going to undermine it? They look at you and they laugh. And yes, they swear at you and they call you names and say, wow, really sucks to be you, doesn't it? But I think what scared me the most was when I saw the security guards doing drugs and drinking. And I said, wait a minute. Okay. Not only are they not going to help, let your animals help you. Okay. Right. Not only are they not going to let your animals help you and protect you from the violence that goes on here, but they are going to do things to make you afraid. Even more afraid of them. Okay, so what was something else that you wanted to share? Go ahead.
Since I've been in the overflow, I've seen since day one there's been elderly being abused, neglected. They sleep on the mats and people in wheelchairs that can't get up. Staff says, it's not my job. It's not my job. I can't help you. I can't touch you.
Okay.
And they won't allow us to help.
Okay, there. Okay, thank you. I was hoping you would say that too. Yeah. Okay, yes. If it's not their job, let me ask you guys this, just as a personal opinion. Do you think that they would get fired if they did something that wasn't their job, just out of the generosity and sincere interest of, but you know what? I don't have to do this. I want to because I genuinely care about you. Four of the things that I always tell my clients and my listeners, my viewers, my students is there are four toxic elements to inactivity. Okay. One is ignorance. I don't know how to help you. Then there is indifference, which is, you know what? I don't really care. I don't really, you know what? It's not really my problem. Then there's impotence, which is I know exactly what to do. And I care about you because I found a handful of them. And they said, I don't have the power or authority. If I actually helped you, I would get in trouble. Okay. And I don't want to lose my job. And then there's incompetence, which is I know what to do. I just don't know how to do it. So yeah, I'll pray for you, sweetheart. Just get the hell away from me because I don't want anyone to see that I was talking to you. And shortly thereafter, I've been evicted and eliminated from the program. Yes.
This is too much. You know, like she was saying, I was in the office. I got gas because you have to see that. One time, a woman came in the wheelchair. She had one leg. And she had that disease where her friends were kept over. She's like, how do I get on my mat? And she goes, Nico, well, we don't do it. And so I walked up and I go, well, can you call? The EMT is on site. So they're trained to do this. I was like, so can you call the EMT? Oh, they're busy. I was like, okay, ma'am. So I went over there. I go, I hope you, sweetie. And as I'm pulling around the shirt, I got grabbed by the female from behind. She goes, you can't do that. I'm like, well, she can't get on the mat. Where is she going to sleep? Oh, they basically brought me to sleep in a wheelchair.
sleep in her wheelchair.
Yeah, the lady in black, you sleep in her wheelchair.
They stopped you from trying to help her. You're not allowed to help her.
And she actually grabbed me from behind, which is, you know, which is not safe for someone that did 27 years in prison.
No, no.
But I turned around, I was like, what are you doing? She goes, no, you can't do that. I was like, so if AMT is busy and you can't do it or you don't want to do it, I go, how is she going to get on the mat? She goes, the lazy black is sleeping in a wheelchair.
She can sleep in a wheelchair. Okay. So
another thing you might want to know, yeah, is like, and during the summer, they got the temperature like at 60 degrees, and they do not provide pillows, and they do not provide sheets, and they do not provide blankets.
But actually, they take them away. Yeah, if you bring your own.
If you come in mm-hmm. with a pillow or blanket, oh, this is not allowed. We're taking it. And what's messed up is on property, on campus, the churches will drop off pillows and blankets.
And overflow, you used to be able to use your own pillow and your own blankets, but now they provide you with a thin blanket at night.
They do? Because I never got one, but okay.
Yeah, a very, very thin blanket.
And when I was in
Cass, it's cold in there.
It is freezing. They actually jack up the AC.
And Cass, when I was in Cass, you know, I started noticing, you know, they you can shower in Cass anytime you want. Well, if you're not in Cass and you're in the overflow, they open the shower 3 days a week, and they only open it for 3 hours. So over 500 people on campus and like 200 tents are supposed to shower in 3 hours, and they only have 3 showers.
Well, you know what? But how important really is it to be clean?
Yeah, and in Cass, they have like 13 urinals, you know, where men can use the restroom, and they have like 10 toilets. But most of the time, 10 of them are full of urine because they back up. And like, you might have two stalls that are not filled up to the top with feces, and they leave it like that. They do not fix it.
That's right.
And Cash, even if you have medical issues, you're not allowed to have a blanket, a pillow, nothing. Not even a sheet.
And
anymore.
I wonder what their belief, their concept is when it comes to what people actually need, what they can provide for them. For me, the biggest issue is trust. Now, I brought this up earlier when I actually started the show about trust. I didn't know that there were actually 500 people here. I kind of did a once over a couple of times how many people come in and out. You know, it was funny because I'm going to get really emotional here. I couldn't find my phone one day. And I said, you know what? I think it was in my bag or something. And the security guards and the staff, when I said, has anyone turned my phone in? They laughed at me and they said, man, this is human waste here. Mm-hmm. They're going to steal your phone, and it's your fault for leaving your phone where it can be stolen. And I said, no, you know what? I'm going to check the lost and found, because I don't think they stole my phone. I think I probably left it, because I leave it a lot of places a lot of times. And they said, you are a stupid idiot if you think anyone's going to turn your phone in. And I said, no, you know what? I'm a stupid idiot if I listen to you.
Yeah.
And I kept looking, and 2 weeks they kept laughing at me. I said, no, someone will turn my phone in. And they're like, well, you're just naive. Okay. And I said, but you know what? I'd be rather be naive and trusting. But you know what? As I was walking out one day, the person, I think he was in the mail room, he said, hey, guess what, Gabrielle? And he turned up the phone. He's like, someone turned your phone. And I said, you see, that's why I have more respect for the residents than I do for the employees. I think the people here are frustrated and they're angry. So what I did to start a case, an actual lawsuit against them, was I tried to find what is an actual crime that these people are committing. You know what it is? It's called, hold on, it's not egregious behavior. Hold on, I wrote it down. It's a misdemeanor, and I think I wrote it in here. 1 second, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. It is called disorderly conduct. Okay, it's AZ 13-2904. Okay, Arizona disorderly conduct qualifies as egregious behavior that is likely to provoke a violent or upset reaction from people. Do you know when you have disorderly conduct, it is a misdemeanor and you can go to jail for 6 months. Do you know that when the security guards and the staff say and do things that is very likely to get someone provoked or afraid or defensive, they can actually be taken to jail? And I said, do you understand to the people that live here? I said, you guys can take a stand and work. And they said, but no one's going to listen to us. Who are we? We're human trash. I said, no, you're not. You deserve to be listened to, and you have something good to say. The only problem is we need to get together. And I feel like the staff here, they undermine the connection that we have. And the security guards, they threaten and intimidate us because they know that the minute we get together and say, hey, let's help each other, let's support each other, and let's be on each other's side, we're not going to do that because we're so afraid of everything the staff is going to do, because the minute we get together, they're going to kick us out of the program.
They're going to kick us off campus. We'll be sleeping on the street.
Yep.
On concrete. But we have both
places.
So,
we'll be
sleeping on sidewalks.
Right? And if that happens, and we know that it's a matter of self-preservation, right, or running, risking the chance of getting other people angry at us, even the other people that we want to help and that we want to support. If I said something that you were helping me, right, if I said, well, you know what, I got this amazing lady to the side, she's been working on it for, you know, herself for all of these years, they're actually going to get mad at her because she's working with me, and they're going to do something punitive. Now, this is the other thing that's not in the contract. I said, what is the recourse? If I filed all of these grievances and nothing has ever been taken, no action has ever been taken to respond, what do I have as my follow-up that I can say, okay, I need to take it to the next level up. I need to talk to your boss's boss. Well, you know what happened to me when I was actually in a transitional housing apartment, which, by the way, was a hotel room. That's fine. Hey, you know what? Free cable. Now, if I'm going to be in this transitional housing, I actually had Sarah from the city of Phoenix knock on my door, and she said, I have your formal paperwork. You've been evicted from HSC. I said, why? She says, oh, I don't know. They didn't tell me. They just asked me to come in and hand you your paperwork. And I said, what? You don't actually think you're... Do you think that's okay? And she goes, I don't know. That's not my job. I said, it's not your job. I think your job is to know what in the hell you're doing, first of all. And second, to be on my side, because did it ever occur to you that I'm the victim here? What have you actually seen me do that's inappropriate, that's unsafe, that's illegal? Nothing. I have not broken any rule or law. I have not violated any policy or procedure, because if you want to actually look over the paperwork, there's not a whole lot of policy or procedure specified here. So then I thought, I really want to help the people here. Once I was kicked out of CAS and HSC and Hallie, which is just another community shelter system program, I thought I could sit here and I could say, let's get everyone here housing. Well, I don't have the political power to do that. Well, let's get everybody genuine food, because what they serve here is obviously garbage. Well, okay, I don't have the social influence to get that. Well, then I found out there's actually, I believe they said $8 million in the fund, right? Specifically for homeless shelters that they haven't spent because they don't really know where or how to spend it. Okay, so I'm thinking we got $8 million that we can access. I have a better idea. What I would like to do, the Better Business Bureau has offered me accreditation. I can have 12 hours a month of space, office space, up to 200 people can fit into one of these rooms, these conference rooms. I would love to give the people who live here support systems and recording devices. The only reason that I was able to do this is because I got a recording, just an audio box. And I said, okay, I am going to use my phone to video record what you guys say and do. And I'm going to get everything you say to me on the record, in addition to taking pictures of every single one of my grievances. And so if anybody here actually wants to get life coaching for free, the Better Business Bureau will let me have their office space for 12 hours. And if anybody wants the coaching workbook, anybody who wants it, I usually charge $50 and I charge $300 for personality profile tests. Anybody who wants it here, they can have it for free. Now, what I know for a fact is when the security guards have one agenda and the staff has another agenda, and then the people running the show have a different agenda, it is going to take unity of volition, right, of intention, when we can say to each other, we can support each other. And when we can confirm that our version of what happened, we're not the only ones that it happened to. There are other people that the exact same thing happened to. When I said to them, I have epilepsy, if you put me on the ground in front of the door with the wind and rain blowing on me, I'm going to have a seizure. They said, wow, that's not my problem. Or that's not my job. You're going to have to talk to someone else. I said, well, who the hell else do I talk to? They said, that's not really my problem. They loved to laugh at me. And I thought, okay, you know what? Nothing demeans you and undermines you worse than being humiliated, because you feel powerless and then resentful. and they know that.
That makes you give up hope, and it makes you give up hope, and it makes you give up hope. Faith, you have both self-esteem, and as you get sent to a place that's supposed to help you, that you're supposed to trust, and you just got out of prison like I did, you're learning not to trust nobody. Absolutely nobody, because it's nothing but violence. So, you know, in prison, I got a certified building ticket. I got a certified plumber, you know, and so I have certificates. So there was no reason why St. Joseph couldn't help me. So St. Joseph couldn't help me. See, God couldn't help me. The Andre House couldn't help me. The Welcome Center couldn't help me. So none of those can help me. And I already get home by myself. And I don't love myself. And they're not going to help me. What's that? Suicide. Because, you know, the only thing that you have left is maybe find the Holy Spirit and the faith to keep going. And, you know, and like I said, my spiritual sister and my brother-in-law, you know, they saved me. They said, just say prayers, and I got baptized. And once I got baptized, 2 weeks later, I had a full-time job. And I had 2 apartment complexes. I'm living in an apartment complex, but I did it myself with the Lord. This place is disgraceful, disrespectful, and they ridicule and laugh at you. But if you have the Holy Spirit, and you have the like the man said, you know, we have to watch out for each other and the Lord, because if you're depending on something for God to do, you're waiting on hell to freeze over.
And I think also exactly what you're talking about, that energy, that positive energy, that's what synergy is about. Absolutely. And what were you going to say?
I was going to say, the last rainstorm that we had, too.
Oh, yeah.
They did not open the doors on time, and everybody's stuff got soaked and ruined.
What?
Blankets got ruined, everything, and they did not care. They took their sweet time. They sat there on their phones, chit-chatted while we were out in the cold and the rain.
Okay.
With our animals, with the elderly, with the disabled, everybody in wheelchairs.
So let me ask you this then, because I feel like you guys have a certain intuition and a personal insight, because that's what helped you to succeed in spite of all the different things that you've gone through. Why do you think they act that way? Why do you think they demean you and humiliate you and abuse you? Because that is overt abuse.
Because they honestly, the honesty 100% don't care.
They care about this.
Like my spiritual sister said, if we get housing and we get vouchers and we actually get an apartment and we have full-time jobs, through this, no cash. They have no jobs.
Okay.
And that's what they're afraid of. They're worried about the next dollar instead of the next person.
Okay, but they hate their jobs. And here's the disorderly conduct definition is, okay. But when we're talking about knowing that the things that they say and they do are going to hurt and humiliate us, how many people would you actually say no? How to behave around people who have genuine mental and emotional limitations. They have physical needs, like their medication. Mm-hmm. How many of them know what they need to do and they just don't do it? How many of them genuinely don't know what to do? They are hiring people who are not qualified to do their job. What do you think it's a bigger issue of? Not knowing what to do, or knowing and just not caring to do it?
Maybe not caring.
More than, because you think they probably know what's going on.
Well, you know, supposedly to be a case manager, you got to go through 6 weeks of counseling. To be EMT, you got to go to college.
Right?
To be a case manager, you also have to go through training in college. And stuff like that. To St. Joseph, which is a church, you know, they're supposed to be faithful. That also takes training and training. So it's just, they honestly just do not care.
And one of the things that I've always told people is that with the power, right, comes responsibility. I've always said that positive energy is more powerful than negative energy. The good will always conquer the evil. You just have to find that positive energy in yourself. But you were talking about spiritual things. One of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It doesn't say we go to a place just to learn information. It said, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together, but keep building each other up and encouraging, supporting each other. When we get together, two people is good. Four people, that's not twice as good. That's 16 times better. Four people is good, but you know what? Eight people, that's 64 times better. Okay. So when we get that, we get positive, it really irritates them. It frustrates them when we like each other. And I said, no, I'm not going to write off everybody here. I'm just going to wait for someone to do the right thing because I know there's someone in here who's going to do the right thing. They hated that when I spoke well of the people that I considered my family. Once I was in here, I was like, no, these people are awesome. You're just humiliating them and torturing them and abusing them and not letting them have the things that I believe in the city of Phoenix they're allowed to have legally.
But like this is Timothy. This is Timothy Kennedy. But like you said, if they have, you know, I didn't know it's $8 million. But if they have $8 million to support us and or you know, help us,
yeah.
Why do we have to count on the next homeless person to help us rather than the $8 million that they have?
There you go, in the system.
It's getting awful bad when you have to beg for a bus pass from another homeless person.
Yes.
Because they say that
the bus pass. Okay, what were you going to say? Yeah.
There
you go. But do what? Hope POD. Let him die. So maybe that'll be one less person to get concerned about, right? Because not that they're genuinely concerned.
Right.
Yeah. It's
doing wow.
pretty
bad. I know that. Wow. I didn't know that. That's actually kind of cool of them to do that.
Yeah. Say, as long as you can play that for yourself, I don't mind.
And you know what? And that's the other thing. Again, like I said, that positive energy is more powerful than negative energy. And wow. You are responsible for the things that you do to each other, with each other, and for each other. I do believe that your reward is exponential, again, but we don't realize who we are together because we never come together. I want to thank all of you so much for telling your stories. I'm actually going to go walk around a little bit because there were some other people who said they wanted to be heard, but they didn't come over here. I don't think they knew I was actually sitting at the table. So I'm going to go ahead and walk around and see. Hey, do you want to, so you're pointing over there?
Howie.
Do you want to come over here, Howie?
Howie.
Okay. I think he's talking to someone else. He's an extrovert. Okay. So that's fine. We're going to go ahead then. And I think I'm going to circle around the campus here and see if there's anyone else who was waiting for me about an hour ago. If they want to tell their story again, thank you so much. You guys are great.
That someone in the next slide will get some help.
Great, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so what I think, actually, as I was talking earlier to people, I had about 50 people who wanted to tell me their story. But you know what, again, I do think it's the fear and the anxiety that they will be rejected or that they will be penalized in some way. So I'm going to walk around a little bit. And again, I'm not going to put people on camera unless they want me. Okay. So now when I'm talking about the synergy and the positive coaching that I give to people, that I do for people, it's really about having the tools and resources. One of the things in my book that I have an entire section is the identify what you need. That's the most important part. If you don't even know what you need, you don't know how to ask for it. And there are some people who genuinely do want to help you, but if you don't even know what the problem is, you can't reach out for the solution. Now, one of the things that a lady that works here said to me was that I can't record things because apparently it's a law. And I said, okay, well, I need to know that. And they said, oh, actually, you can. You just have to tell the person that you're talking to that you are recording them.
And so the most of the employees, when they saw that I was going to record what they say, I said, because you know what? You say one thing and I say something else. I need to have the evidence of what's going on here. It was my confidence that they really, I think, were most upset with. And so when I said to them, that's okay, go ahead and take action against me, there was no action to take against me because I hadn't done anything wrong. And they know that. And when the people who live here don't really know specifically what they need and they don't know how to ask for the help for whatever it is that they need, they just have an attitude of, well, you know what, I'm going to give up. Now, again, I talked about four different things. There's ignorance, there's indifference, there's impotence, and there's incompetence. Ask yourself, in order, which one of those things is the worst? And then, you know what? Well, yeah, the other ones are bad too, but not as bad as the worst, obviously. And go down, really put them in order. In your opinion, what is out of impotence, incompetence, ignorance, and indifference? What affects you the most about other people and the choices that they make that affect you? Do you even know what affects you? Hi. What is it? Or it's the power of synergy. But if you want to go on the website, it's bbsradio.com/thepowerofsynergy. So you can listen to it live and you can go to that website right now. Just don't get too close because I don't want the echo, but you'll see me and you'll hear what you said, especially in the archives. Okay. Thank you.
It's going to cover.
I'm sorry. The synergy. Yes. And I'll go ahead and I'll write that down for you. You can take a look at that. Sure. No problem. And so when you have that kind of personal understanding, and then you can say to other people, you know what? It really bothers me that you don't care. Well, because I'm a certain personality type. And then someone else can actually say, well, it bothers me that you're stupid. You don't know how to do your job. It's part of your job here to know what I need. Because I don't know what I need. That's part of what brings me here. If I knew what I needed, I would go out and get it. Because you know what? We do have some good resources. We have some community services and programs that really do offer a wide range of opportunities for help and support and personal growth. But when someone is in a depressed state, they don't know what they need because they're not thinking clearly. And when they are not thinking clearly, a lot of that for me comes from not getting enough rest. If you're not taking good care of yourself, actually for me, it starts with doing exercise. It doesn't seem like important stuff, but the fact that I walk 3 to 5 miles a day gets me the good quality sleep. And so then when I have good sleep and then my neurological state is better, then I don't have seizures. Now, what's harder on my body when I have a seizure? The physical impact of literally being electrocuted by my own brain or the depression that comes from the humiliation? You know what? I don't know. It really is a toss-up. Sometimes I just have even what I thought are pseudo-seizures because my anxiety attacks undermine my ability to fight nervous energy. And you know what? And what, another thing that bothered me was my neurologist, my general practitioner MD, said, wow, you have anxiety. Okay, well, let me just give you an anxiety pill. I said, no, part of my anxiety is having all of these pills and having to take more and more pills. That makes me feel bad that I don't have the force, the confidence, the strength, and the endurance to fight seizures that I could actually stop them when I was a little girl. Now I'm an adult. I have children. I have a husband, and they need me to get things done in their life. I can't do any of these things because I feel bad about myself, and I'm afraid that I'm actually going to hurt them when I'm supposed to be loving them and taking care of them. That's a very debilitating experience. And when you have that internally going on that undermines what you're going to do externally, you don't know what to do. And that's, I think, what happens here. Places like this, people just give up and they say, you know what? I don't know what to do. I feel like I've tried everything. So when I say that I want to help these people, look, could I go to another attorney? Yes. Could I stand on the street and say, let's fight for these people? Well, yeah, but the people who are driving by, they don't know what to do either. What I think is very important, pay it forward,
There were people in here, and there have been people in my life who gave me the help and support that I needed. So now I think what's most important is giving these people the confidence to stand up for themselves and say, you know what? I know myself now. I know what I need, and I'm not ashamed to reach out and ask for it. I have the ability to make my life better, and there are amazing people here who want me. They want to help me make my life better because, again, I know it sounds kind of cliche, but there's more joy in giving than there is in receiving. Do you know that when you allow other people in your life to help you? Yeah. Oh, hi. You want to tell me something about your experience here? My show, I've got about 8 minutes left. Do you want to tell your story?
$400 down to Eddie Bauer. They took two different pairs of shoes.
They took them from you.
Other clothes. And when I came in, I checked in two pocket knives and a multi-tool with a minimum $400. When I went, I checked it out when I go outside, came with me. Mm-hmm. And that's about my third time. And that is what I'm doing out here.
They confiscated your personal belongings.
Well, they said they threw them out. But
what?
I know that because those guys were too valuable. They put them in their pocket.
Okay. Now, let me just say, because we were talking over there, I was interviewing some other people. You don't think that the people here would just throw them out because they don't care? Because what I've heard is that a lot of people here just, they would keep them. Really? I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to say, oh, my God, that's crazy. I believe you. I believe you. Why do you suppose the people here do things like that? Do you think that they care about you?
A bit.
Okay.
The staff, the people around here are thieves, but they're street people. I mean, they can have to survive. These people do it just because they're thieves. And that, most of the staff are thieves, in my opinion.
Right.
I second that.
Okay, so you have a physical experience of what's going on here. Now, sir, do you want to have your face shown? Because this is just recording, okay? Thank you. Every time they take your stuff, I believe it. Jesus, because they take it. So let me ask you this. You said you'll second that emotion of what he said. Has something happened to you? Oh. What? You're the one. I'm so sorry.
They don't, if you have a medical problem, you should not be here.
I agree.
They got it to the point to where I stopped breathing in order for them to do something.
Whoa.
I've been telling them for 5.5, almost 6 months that I've been here.
Yeah.
That I needed accommodation so I could sit at a 45-degree angle while I slept.
Yeah.
So that
that's they important.
Said, no.
Why?
They took my pillow off of my wheelchair. And then it took the paramedics to come out because I stopped breathing for them to even pay attention to me.
Okay, now let me ask you both something. There are different staff members here. There are different levels of employees here, okay? My question was, okay, because what you get in the Welcome Center is not what you get at CAS. That's not what you get at HSC. But I personally felt like it was the security guards that I was the most afraid of, and that's ironic because they're the ones who are supposed to protect me. I when you go to the staff, you get one response. When you go to security, you get a different response. Your caseworker or something. Okay, how do you feel? Tell me what you feel. And you believe, because we were talking about that earlier. Yeah.
Because I know one of the security guards on a personal level.
Okay.
He's been here since I've been here.
Okay.
And he treats me with the utmost respect.
Really? That's really nice to know.
And if I'm having a bad day, he's one of the first people to point out, hey, do you need anything? Are
wow.
you okay?
Wow, that's so great. So then you think
something I don't even get from the staff.
I was going to say, but you think the staff undermines him? They tie his hands, basically.
Yes.
So if he wants to do something for you, he's not allowed to.
Exactly.
Oh.
I asked my supervisor one day, I said, well, what's your name? He said, Linda. I said, what's the last name? He said, Linda.
Tell her last name?
No, they can't, and they won't tell you that.
So
I know that too.
A new contract out in all the area, whether it's hotel or
they this have a place. Don't ask, don't tell policy.
Yes, don't tell. Yes, and I got that too. Or you get fired. Ooh, the okay.
Run this place.
Uh huh.
It needs to go because if anybody of any kind of power.
Yeah.
Came into this place and did a walkthrough.
Yeah,
they would go.
Okay, because I filed a.
I had to contact Gary Harper's 300 side.
Ooh.
Just to get anything done.
Okay.
I didn't have a case manager. I understand you're supposed to wait your 90 days. I get that.
Wait a minute, but are you supposed to wait 90 days to get a case manager, yes. Or are you supposed to work with them for 90 days so you don't get kicked out?
No, you're supposed to wait 90 days, get a case manager, and then they help.
Okay.
And I understood that.
Okay.
Going into this. But I did not understand. It's that your case manager means absolutely nothing because they listen to no one.
Okay.
Your case manager will listen to you.
Right.
But again, their hands are tied. The staff here listens to no one.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that. Okay, so then, because this is my experience, my case manager said one thing, the staff said something else, the higher up said something else. And so when you have to comply with different companies or even different levels within the same company and they're telling you different things, it really does make you feel depressed. And exactly. Then you feel like you want
to
give up.
And the only thing they'll tell you when you're trying to make sense of it all is don't do that or you'll lose your bed.
They will throw that on you. Yeah. That's what we came for, to get a bid. So why would I want to do anything to jeopardize that?
To jeopardize it, exactly. And even though that's not true, because I noticed a lot of things, they say they're going to do it, they can't even do what they threaten you. They can't. You have to talk to someone else to talk to someone else. But what I noticed is the paperwork, it's very inconsistent, and it's very general, and it's very non-specifically doesn't include.
Don't even get me started on the grievances.
Ooh, you got a grievance story, too? Because I had about 3 minutes before I got to log off my show. I'm going to be around 3 minutes. What? Okay, I filed 46 of them. What do you think happens with a grievance?
Well, for starters, I filed like 9,911 of them.
All righty. that's a little more than me.
Even down to the post office, really bad. Personal things stolen out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Their cell phone, SIM card stolen out of there, and they said, "Well, it's an Obama phone." I'm like, "Why would I worry about an Obama?"
And then on top of that, when something is stolen, they enable the thief. They don't do anything about the stuff that's stolen. And when you contact the police, you're the bad guy.
But now I still don't know about the grievances. I'm sorry, I only have like 1 minute left. I'm going to have to log off of my show, but when it comes to the grievances, they don't ever submit them to anybody. And
unless it goes to Hannah, it's not going to do anything.
Oh, Hannah. Okay. People might need to know that. Okay. So I'm getting a class action lawsuit. When I log off my show, I'm going to come back through and ask people who want to be put on the list. I'm looking for a list of names, but thank you very much for sharing your story.
Yes, ma'am. You have a blessed and beautiful day. Happy
you too. Thank you. Sorry, doggy. Okay, so we've heard a couple of different stories from a couple of different people. And what this show is about is personal power. Sometimes you need to go to help sources. Sometimes you need to go to people. The people who are powerless, when they come together, they actually can be successful. We've seen success stories, and it really is about the energy that you bring into your life and into other people's lives. This is BBS Radio. This is the Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardone.